With me today is Michael Lord from Beyond Zero Emissions, and we are going to talk about zero emissions in the future. Good day, Michael.
Hello, thanks for having me on the program.
Thanks for your time and for this new idea that you've been toying around with.
Yeah, that's right. Beyond Zero Emissions, we're a climate change think tank, and we show how the different areas of society and economy that produce greenhouse gas emissions can produce zero emissions, so can reduce their emissions to zero in just 10 years. We've been taking each of the sectors of the economy and showing that.
And you are aiming for zero emissions in the industrial or in the industries, if I'm not mistaken, particularly
right.
those that create metal and steel?
Yeah, that's right. So we've already had reports on sectors like transport, building, electricity production. So really the last big sector of the economy that produces emissions where we haven't produced a report is industry. So as you say, the production of the things that we use every day, the chemicals, the plastics, the metals, the cements, the paper, this is a very high emission sector. It uses a lot of energy. It's difficult to tackle, but we want to show that it can be tackled and it can be zero emissions in 10 years.
If I'm not mistaken, these are what you call the heavy industries.
That's right. It's heavy industry.
Is it possible at all? And how are you going about into finding out if it's possible?
Is it possible? It is possible. It's going to be difficult. It's probably more difficult, for example, than the electricity sector, where we have lots of mature industries now, like solar panels and wind turbines. So we're going about it by Beyond Zero Emissions does all of its research with volunteers. So we get a lot. There's a lot of people in Australia, committed people who are concerned about climate change, who are willing to give their time to us free of charge. So we have students from universities, quite a few from Monash, quite a few from University of Melbourne. They're engineers and material scientists. We have people, engineers and consultants in their careers helping us, retired people helping us. And they're basically looking at examples from around the world, academic studies, new technologies that will enable industry to move to zero emissions.
This is a large amount of energy that we're talking about.
It is. It's a huge amount of energy. So you can think of energy, the way we use it, is basically there's three big areas that use energy. There's transport for moving around, there's buildings, heating and running buildings, and then there's industry. And they're all roughly a third of global energy usage, but industry is actually a bit bigger than the other two. So it's a huge amount of energy.
And in some areas, some plants don't actually close down, isn't it? It's a 24/7 thing operation.
Yeah, most industrial processes, the plants are very expensive to set up, and they require, for reasons of efficiency and other reasons, just to, once they turn on, basically just to keep going for months or years with very little stoppage.
Is there a particular industry that you are focusing on, or is it just in general at the moment?
We're focusing on three areas, I'd say. So one of the reasons industry needs a lot of energy, the biggest reason is probably to produce heat. And it produces heat, by and large, by burning fossil fuels, mostly gas. So we'll be looking at how that heat can be provided renewably. So we'll be looking at technologies like concentrated solar thermal to produce heat, geothermal energy, and probably the biggest area will be the electrification of heat. So using renewable electricity to provide the heat instead of burning fossil fuels.
So solar panels.
Well, yeah, solar panels. However, it doesn't matter to industry how the renewable electricity is generated, but in Australia, certainly, it will be largely through solar panels and wind power.
How much of our energy is generated from these renewables at the moment?
At the moment in Australia, I think it's about, I think it's a little over 10%, but there's the renewable energy target has it a target of 20%.
And it's promising, isn't it? We are one of the hottest countries in the planet.
yeah, that's a good point. Actually, one of our recent reports that we issued last year was called Australia is a renewable energy superpower, and it was making that point you just made that Australia is in a great position to profit in this new world. All the governments in the world have agreed that we need to tackle climate change, we need to reduce our emissions to zero. So we're going to have a lot of renewable energy, and for some countries that's going to be very difficult. But Australia's in a fantastic position because we've got loads of solar energy. In a few places where we haven't got amazing solar, like some of the coast of Victoria, we've got great wind energy. We've even got geothermal energy, wave energy. So we're spoilt for choice, really, and it should be no problem for Australia to become 100% renewable.
And we don't have problems with land as well.
That's right. Lots of land and not a very big population related to the land.
So with all these things in favour for renewables, you think by 2017 we'll have an idea of how we can achieve this for the manufacturing industry?
Yeah, that's our plan. Our plan is to release this report next year. We'll release it as sub-reports leading up to a big launch. So we'll have sub-reports looking at, for example, steel and cement. Steel and cement are by far the biggest causes of greenhouse gas emissions in the industrial sector, partly because we just make so much of them. We make about 3 billion tons a year as a planet of cement. And the way we make cement and steel, greenhouse gas emissions are kind of inevitable with the current way we make cement and steel. It's not just about their energy requirements. So, for example, with cement, half the emissions are just from the reaction of using raw limestone and turning it into calcium oxide, which produces most of the CO2 in that process.
Maybe redesigning the process as well?
That's right. With cement, if you're going to tackle cement, you just need to make it in a completely different way. So at the moment, we make cement with limestone. Limestone's an abundant material, and it served us well in making cement, but unfortunately, it causes all these greenhouse gas emissions, and there's really nothing you can do about that if you're going to make cement with limestone. So we need to make cement with other things, and there are lots of ideas about how to do that, and there are several companies in Australia and quite a few around the world that are making different type of cement called geopolymer cement, which is has hardly any of the emissions of regular cement. It uses a waste product of coal-fired power stations and the steel industry to make the cement. So it's only an interim solution while we still have coal-fired power stations. But while we do have, and we can use the ash from those stations, we can use geopolymer cements, which can be used for any purpose that we use regular cement for today.
What has been the reaction from the industry itself? Have you received support?
On cement specifically, we've been talking to some companies that make geopolymer cements, and of course they're very supportive because we're going to be promoting their product, essentially saying that it's one of the solutions to climate change. We've also spoken to companies in the steel and metal manufacturing industries, and actually we thought maybe they wouldn't be as supportive, but they have. They've been very keen to share their time and their expertise because they too want a world where we tackle climate change, and they want to see solutions as well. But it's with the current climate, it's very difficult for industry because it's going to take to make steel in a zero carbon way, it's going to take a lot of investment.
It will take a lot of money to redo or rethink the way we do things, isn't it?
Yeah, in some places more than others. In some we already have the solutions, like, we could electrify heat for some instances quite easily. We could use concentrated solar thermal to provide heat for some applications quite easily because some people already do it. But in something like steel manufacture, so steel at the moment is nearly all made, when it's made from the raw iron ore, it's made with coal or coke. It's going to take a lot of money to do that another way. We're looking at making steel with hydrogen, but it's not done at the moment, so it's going to take a big commitment.
So little steps, as they say.
Well, little steps. Little steps makes it sound like,
a long time.
It's a long time, and unfortunately we don't have a long time. I mean, the analogy people often draw with the kind of risk we're facing and the kind of effort we need to make is with the Second World War. when, you know, for example, car factories like General Motors in the United States went from producing cars and then in 90 days after they were directed by the government, turned those car factories into airplane factories and had designed and produced their first airplane in 90 days. And that was really because they had the political will at the time. Everything was geared towards, we must win this war, and that's what we think we need for climate change.
I think we are at war as well, aren't we?
That's right. that's right. We are at war, but it's more difficult for people to see that than for political parties to see that, because if the enemy has a face, it's the one in the mirror, because climate change is caused by all of us.
And I guess bottom line is, if we think about the cost, it is our future, isn't it?
That's right. It is our future. We've only got one planet. It sounds like a cliche, but if you really think about that fact and the size of the risk we're taking it with that one planet, it really stirs you into action and should be stirring us all as a society into action.
Looking forward to hearing from you in 2017.
Great, yeah, we'd be very happy to share the results of our research.
Thank you very much, Michael Lord from Beyond Zero Emissions.
Thank you very much.